Quisiéramos, darles la bienvenida a esta charla. Entonces, en este contexto, esta conferencia, André abordará el tema de la gobernanza y la productividad como motores del desarrollo territorial. Como se había sido anunciado, la charla va a ser en inglés y tendrá una aproximación de 45 minutos para luego pasar a las discusiones. Entonces, damos la bienvenida y reiteramos el agradecimiento también.
Sí, muchas gracias. That will be the only words I will say in Spanish, I think. Can you hear me? You can hear me, or you prefer what I speak here? Because if I speak there, I cannot move, okay? So I prefer to speak that way, if you can hear me. Otherwise, if you don't hear me, you tell me, and then I speak in the microphone, okay?
We are recording, so they need your voice.
Okay, thank you very much. So thank you very much. Let me tell you that I'm very happy to be there, and I'm very, very honored to have been invited by Flaxo as an invited professor first, and by my very friends, and I see a lot of friends who are there in the room, and that's very nice for me to be there. And I'm also very honored to have been invited to deliver the conference this afternoon, because it is about one of my favorite topic. It's about territorial development, and I think it's really important to think in terms of territorial development nowadays, because we cannot restrict our think to national or even regional topics. We have to come to those types of development. So my talk will be about territorial development, and more especially about the topic of the two main engines, what I consider for myself as the two main engines of territorial development, which are production and governance. So I will try to elaborate a bit on that, and I will try to explain you a bit what I think that this question is rather important. When I was a young scholar, long, long, long time ago, when we used to speak about development, it was reserved to the development of what we can call the emerging countries, or the less developing, or the developing countries. And then it was reserved to this part of the story, because we thought something like the countries from the OECD, the most developed countries, they are already developed. So that's not a point of concern. But due to the crisis and due to the recognition of the rise of the social inequalities between the country, there have been some changes, and also there have been some changes in the consideration of what is development. For an economist like me, and for us economists, for a long time, development was confused with growth, and we made a kind of confusion between both. But in the last years, the last 10 years, there have been some changes, and now even the economists are considering that development is not only reduced to growth, and then there are different types of development indices than GDP, and there are indices like in countries like Bhutan, when they have the happiness indice, or even in other countries, in other places like OECD, when they praise now more complex indicators of growth, of development, including well-being and the well-behave of people and so on. And also, in different places of the world, now has appeared the idea that it is necessary to have growth and development policies. And even in, for example, in Europe, now we have a policy of development which is called smart development, because we are very smart, and that's the idea to try to cope with development with new ways to do that. So it looks like now everybody needs to develop, and everybody is concerned to development, and not only emerging countries. And these changes, they plead for a new vision of development. So we don't want to integrate development as an helicopter way and very, very macro, in very, very macro conditions. But a lot of studies now are more and more grounded and take into account the local dimensions And that's the idea of a differentiated development with a specialization of spaces. But for example, the smart development approach in Europe, it is related to the peculiarity of a region. And everywhere, there's this idea that we have to cope with the local conditions of the regions. This means that now we are coming to a more balanced view of development. And it is also related, but I will come back to that, to the lot of local initiatives related to local development in every country, in every region. So while I will try to assess a few questions in my presentation, first, what are the expressions of these new territorial development processes? Second, what can we describe them? What are they? Can we describe them? What is the rationale behind them? And mainly, what are the two main engines, namely governance and production structure? So I will follow the same presentation. I will try to present the rationale of territorial development. I will ask if it is a question of innovation, and if it is so, which type of innovation? Then I will come back to governance, and okay, I will go to the two engines of development and go to my conclusion, so I will don't have any time for any bonus track today. So let's start with the territorial development, the rationale. What is the rationale of territorial development? The term in itself, territorial development, is something quite new, because in the past we have a lot of studies around regional development, then a lot of studies around local development, what is what's called local development or development from below, and then we have territorial development. So what is the difference to territorial development? So it has been done by several steps, because in the first type, in the first era, let's say in the 50s or in the 60s, in the 20th century, there were the idea of a very balanced growth, and the fact that the growth has to be balanced, and that the differences between territories will last after some time. That was the idea of a neoclassical approach, which said that after a while, every country will develop, every region will develop, everybody will take the bandwagon, will take the train of development. And it was a bit the same with the what is called the expert-based theory, which is Keynesian approach, but there was this idea that step by step will come back to equilibrium and everybody will develop. Regarding the reality, there have been some doubts about that, and until the 80s and the 90s, there have been a lot of new approaches. And first, there were, for example, the work of Paul Krugman related to the so-called new economic geography is concerned with the idea that okay, no, we will never be in a situation of a balanced development, but development will be always uneven, and there still will be countries which are and regions and territories which are more developed than the others, and it will not be possible to put everybody in the same wagon. So it developed this way, and until the 80s and the 90s, some scholars, step by step, and I call them the pioneers of territorial development, they started to investigate the question of territorial development. And most of them, they did that at the productive level. And there were the scholars who were concerned with the question of industrial districts, local systems of production, and most of all, with a very, very popular approach of clusters, which has been held by Michael Porter. It's popular everywhere in the world, and it's not only a theoretical tool, but it's also a very powerful tool of policy, because it has been held by regions, by countries, but also by the World Bank, and so on and so on. So step by step, we had the introduction of the notion of territory, and step by step, scholars were concerned with smaller regions, smaller places like clusters, technopoles, local systems of innovation, Silicon Valley. So there are a lot of examples of those territories at the local level. So what is territorial development? What can we say nowadays about territorial development? And how what do we cope with? First, in terms of geographical area, we are concerned with areas which are smaller than region. So that's more reduced area, like cluster or like local place. What is a territory? What's the definition of a territory? Okay, when you cope with a region, that's quite easy because you have the borders. When you're dealing with territories, a bit more difficult because, of course, borders are not institutional, but a territory is a place, really. It can have a biophysical or institutional reality, but most of all, it is based on the actors, on the action of the local actors. And that's very important. And what are the differences between territorial and regional development? First, there are three main differences. First difference is that when you cope with territorial development, you put in the machine all the local stakeholders, not only the firms, not only the institutions, but also the people, but also the different local public activities, association, local organization, and so on, all the stakeholders. Second difference, it is the integration of the relation of cooperation of social construction between the actors. So it's not only economic flows, it's not only big pipelines, but it's not only competition, it's also cooperation and social construction. When you deal with regional development, you do not take into account the question of land because you're at a too high level, but when you ground, when you go to the territory, you are obliged to look at the question of ground or land. The question of land is really important nowadays because there are lack of land, there is scarcity of land, there are problems of land, there is also the question of land grabbing with countries which are buying pieces of other countries for their own sake and so on. So this question you have to address and you have to take it into consideration. So that's it with this definition of territorial development, which encompasses several changes regarding to regional development. But how? Now the question is, how does it work? How does it work? So first and foremost, development is a question of production and innovation. This is an idea which is not new. A lot of scholars talk about that. The first one was Joseph Schumpeter, 100 years ago, and he defined the fact that innovation plays a key role in territorial development, in development, I'm sorry, and it has been followed by a lot of analysis at the end of the 20th century, at the beginning of the 21st century. All these analyses, I'm talking about clusters, about geography of innovation, about the creative classes, about the evolutionary geography, economy, and so on. All these approaches, they cope with the idea that if you want to develop, you have to innovate. And which type of innovation are we talking about? They are talking about technological innovation. And the best example of that was Silicon Valley. So you put a lot of innovation, a lot of efforts of relation science and industry at the local level, and then you can develop on that basis, and it has given rise to a lot of local and territorial policies. But all those policies, or maybe not, but most of those policies, they are reduced to first to urban areas, and second to technological innovation. So they concern, in the end, just a very few places in the world. That means just a few countries, into these countries just a few regions, into these regions just a few places of our cities, which means that technological innovation, really, it has a huge spatial content, but it's reduced to a very few places in the world, and it forgot a major part of the world in terms of territories. So it includes non-technological innovation, I will come to that, and also most places in the world. And it is not well adapted to peripheral areas, to rural areas, to peripheral regions, and things like that. It is well adapted only with the most well-developed regions in the world. In order to make one step further, one step beyond, we have to integrate other types of innovation. Because when we're talking about clusters, when we're talking about districts, we are thinking about technological innovation. But to be sincere, technological innovation is not the only type of innovation that exists. There are other types of innovation, and it is assessed. I just give some example here of innovation which have appeared in the last 10 years. So all the questions related to circular economy, the recycling of inputs and the reparation of goods at the local level, all the short value chain, especially in local food, the social cooperative, all the movement of social cooperative between people, and also the kind of crowdfunding and crowdsourcing, which are local operations when people act together for the sake of their territory and for the sake of a local community. So there have been a lot of innovation, and all these innovations, they are not technological ones, or they include only a very short part of technological innovation. So I've put also this picture, and this picture indicated that there are a lot, that's quite a mess, that there are a lot of things, but it indicates is there are a lot of new things which are appearing in the territories nowadays. We have to cope with them, and we don't have to stick only to technological innovation. So what I claim is that in order to cope with territorial development, we have to cope with territorial innovation. Territorial innovation means that we don't have to take only into account technological innovation, but we have also to take into account other types of innovation, which are organizational innovation, which is not very new, but also social innovation and institutional innovation. And if we do that, we understand that there are innovations a bit everywhere, but there are innovations of different types. There are not only innovation to land things in the air or to have very high-speed trains, but there are more modest innovations, there are more modest novelties, but they are part of the territories, and this territorial innovation, it is a way to develop, it is a way to introduce new things in the territory. So that was for production and innovation. But on the other hand, when you think at the territorial level, when you try to understand the way territorial development appears or occurs, you have to work on your two legs, and you also have to take another question into consideration. That's the question of governance. While I'm talking about governance, that's an issue which is quite popular nowadays. The term governance in itself is really praised, and is praised by a lot of scholars, also by a lot of institutions, for example, the World Bank or the IMF and so on. But I don't want to cope really with this type of governance. We can come back to that. But I prefer to start with an observation. And the observation is that in the last decade, there have been a huge involvement of local population in territorial affairs. It is asserted by a lot of affairs like the Arab Springs, like the stories of the places, like a lot of revolts or revolutions all over the world, etc., etc. Even in my country, in France, it was the story of the Yellow Vest and so on. But there are a lot of things, and what they indicate an increased interest of a local population for the development features, the rise of a participative democracy, the thing that local population want to take their destiny, want to take their future in hand, and want to lead mostly to the fact that the population are more and more educated worldwide, and now they are more conscious of their interest. If we look at those shifts, this recent shift, we can cope with territorial governance, and it has three main reasons. First reason is that at the local level, we have a mosaic of different types of stakeholders, not only public bodies, not only private firms, but also local associations, NGOs, local people, and so on, local representative. The first, the second one is the involvement of local population, and the third one is that we have layers of states, and sometimes you have a supranational, for example, in Europe, we have a supranational state with Europe, we have national state like France in my country, and then regions, and then territories, and so on. And we have to cope with this complexity, and this complexity involves really the fact that the territorial development is something very complex. And how is it possible to deal with this complexity at the local level? Now, there have been the development of a lot of tools of participation in the last year, in the last 10 to 20 years. That's communication, information, consultation, negotiation, cooperation. And then, as you rise those stairs, step by step, you involve more and more people. And when you communicate, this means you have take a decision at the government and you just inform. But when you are in cooperation and consultation, this means that you have a collective decision. And this is, of course, much complex and much demanding, but it is asked also by the local population. So this means that in the end, we have to cope, and I make a few books on that, this question of territorial governance. This territorial governance has to be understood as a tool, as an engine of territorial development. And the crucial point is how the stakeholders act together in the territories for the sake of these territories and how do they behave together. And if you have this kind of territorial development, it will help you to define projects for the future. It's a way to coordinate different and various agents. It's a way to prevent the players, local players, to go away, so to exit the territory. And also, it's the idea to decide of the future development paths. But reality is not always blue. And reality is not only concerned with cooperation or collaboration behavior, but it's also concerned with a lot of opposition and with a lot of conflict behavior. There are a lot of conflicts all over the world, and the level of conflict is increasing. And why is it increasing? It is increasing because the local population are more and more aware of their destiny, and they do not accept easily the decisions which are made by the government or which are made by big firms or big enterprise, big bodies. So a lot of opposition come to the fact that there are a lot of conflicts at the local level because local population used to oppose to the decisions which are made by big public or private bodies, and we can assert that there are a lot of development of this opposition. We can assess that easily. I will claim that these conflicts are a part of the innovation process, are a part of the territorial innovation process. So cooperative behaviors at the local level are a part of the development process. It is well documented. We have a lot of work on that. You have to collaborate, you have to build all together the process and the path of development. I will make the hypothesis, not only the hypothesis, I could prove you, that we on the basis of a lot of studies, that the conflicts are very good signals of innovations. So when there is something new, there is a resistance. We call that resistance to innovation. When there is a small or a big innovation, a part of a population resists to it. And that's very normal, that's really the normal way. And the story is that what happened after? Does this innovation will be totally rejected? Will it be accepted immediately? Or will it be modified by a process of collaboration? That's the most common way. So the conflicts lead to territorial forms of governance because during the conflicts there appear new forms of governance, new type new types of actors, there's a recombining of local actors during the conflicts, and also new technical choice. So if you hear one day that one waste plant will be built in front of your house, probably you will oppose to it. And probably there will be, and you will find other people to oppose, and you, because that's a big innovation, you oppose to this innovation, and you will struggle. Maybe, in the end, you could find the ideas that this weight could be pawned 10 kilometers away, or maybe you could see that it will be underground, or things like that. So there are a lot of things which appear during the conflict, and conflict is one way of territorial innovation as well. And I'm extending the Schumpeterian approach, which is about technological innovation at the basis of development. I'm extending it to different types of innovation, be there conflictual or be there cooperative, at the local level, be there technological, institutional, or social one. Okay, so let me go now to, now we have defined these two engines of territorial development, production on the one hand and governance on the other hand. Let's try to assess how do they work at the territorial level, what's their functioning, and what's the question here. So we have to come back a bit to innovation, because you saw that I talked a lot about innovation, but in a very punctual way. Now I want to summarize about innovation. So as I told you, that traditionally we are dealing with technological and organizational innovation, and they are concerned with productive level. Till the last decades, we have added social and institutional innovations in order to say there are different types of innovation, not only related to technology. Okay, these are the rows of my grid. If I come to the lines, I will say that there are two types of innovation. There are innovations which are based on collaboration or on cooperation between people, when people join together and make common efforts and join effort to develop, and they share a common future or shared future, and they work all together for the future. It happens, but it happens also that people in a territory do not share the same type of opinions, do not share the same terms of view for the futures, and there are huge oppositions. If there are huge oppositions about the terms and about the tools of development and about the aims of development, then the development will take a competitive or conflictual forms. And here we have the innovations. So the technological and organizational innovations, they are related to inventions, which is well documented until Schumpeter, and the social and institutional innovations, they are related to new projects. And you have to cope with that. So when you have those type of innovation, you know that there are some innovation which has built by cooperation, some which are built by concertation, some which are built by competition, and some which are built by conflicts as well. So if we have those type of approach, we can just come back. Now I'm about to finish. We can just come back to the two the stories of production and governance. So if we look what I am talking about in concrete terms, we can come back to that in the discussion, because there are a lot of examples of that. When I'm talking about production, especially I'm talking about local systems of innovation and production. There have been thousands of them worldwide until the 80s. Like districts, clusters, science park, technopoles, ecosystems of innovation, and so on and so on. There are a lot of examples of that, and I'm talking about this way of doing innovation at a very technological level, and also there can be some isolated innovators. Now it started to happen because by means of social networks, means of collaboration. Now it appears that some innovators can be isolated because they can communicate only by means of social media and so on. But in production is not only concerned with high-tech innovation, but it is concerned also with alternative modes of production at the local level. For example, circular economy. For example, short local food products, etc., etc. They appear now, and they have appeared new modes of production which are not only based on the high-tech and which are not only based on big firms as well. So that's why I'm talking when I'm talking about production. When I'm talking about governance, what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the claim of local population for an increased level of participation in public decision. And it, in the end, it has two expressions. The first expression is the collaboration of a cooperation between stakeholders like participative democracy, local cooperative, social movement, collaboration at the local level, and so on and so on. That's the blue part of the story. And that's also the gray part, the black part of the story, that's conflict. And I claim, as you know now, this, that conflicts and opposition are a part of the ways to develop, so you do not have to be afraid of conflict. Conflicts are a part of reality, conflicts are a part of life, and conflicts are a part of the development of the societies, as like the sociologists know that for a very long time now. Okay, so now I come... I've been faster than I thought. We have time to discuss. So the no more words, just pictures now. This is I start with governance. I start with governance, and I start with the. I will try to describe, just with pictures, the development process. So here we have a new project, and these new projects they can be well accepted, or they can be issued from. Cooperation when we shake hands, or they can be issued from conflicts, and then they give birth to conflicts, and if it give birth to conflicts that related to what I have called conflictual innovations, and if it's based on cooperation, it gives birth to what we call cooperative innovations. And I'm related this to the work of Alfred Hirschman. Maybe you know this very, very powerful work of Alfred Hirschman in terms of exit, voice, and loyalty. So Hirschman claimed that it was not applied to territorial development in any sense. It was applied to the behavior in a firm. He said when there is a decision by the deciding authority of a firm and you do not like it or you are against, you have three solutions. One solution is to exit, so you leave the firm. Another solution is loyalty, so you do not say nothing and you are against, but okay. And the other one is voice, so you act as an opponent and you enter into a conflict. And this division in exit, voice, and loyalty behaviors, it applies perfectly to territorial development questions. So here, when we have a new project, in terms of governance, you can see that, there can be conflicts, voice, there can be cooperation, loyalty, and also there is another possibility. So, I'm working now at the level of one territory. So this circle, this kind of circle, that's a territory. So what should we do when there is an innovation in a territory? For example, that's the idea to put, as I said, a nuclear plant or to build a tunnel near your home or even to have a new high-speed railway with all the problems that it poses. There are two possibilities, conflict, cooperation, and of course, there is another possibility, which is exit, and which means that you can go outside of the territory. This means a migration. For example, in Europe, in the last 10 years, the Romanian population, the population of Romania, has lost more than 10%, so more than 3 to 4 million people migrated from Romania because they do not find any good solution locally, and they preferred to exit and they prefer to migrate to other parts of Europe. So when you are in a territory, you have those three solutions, which are cooperation, loyalty, conflict, voice, and spatial exit, which means non-development. Because when you exit, you do not participate in the development, be there in a cooperative way or in a conflictual way. You go outside, you go in other places. And these are the ways the development paths. The development paths can be based on conflict or cooperation behaviors. This is for governance. The same can apply for production, the other engine. So if I have exactly the same type of approach from the sake of production, here I have still my territory, I say it could be a cluster, industrial cluster, because that's easy to understand the way it functions. And there are three possibilities for the local firms into an industrial clusters. They can compete at the local level. They can enter in struggle, in a huge competition between them. They can cooperate, be there vertically or horizontally between different types of firms. So they can cooperate and they can try to work together. So they can mix both sometimes, what is called co-petition, which is a mix of cooperation and competition, or they can move. So they can exit the territory, and that's the relocation of firms. And there's a huge movement worldwide of relocation, although every time there are firms which are leaving the local territories because they do not find the local conditions satisfactory enough, and they go in other places in the world, in other regions, in other places, so they leave the local territory, so they do not participate to the development path, they prefer to exit as well. So we have these two main ways of development, by means of production and by means of governance. So let me just describe you the same story, but not in a static term, but in a dynamic way now. And I will just mention you an example, and I will just apply it to the governance case only, because I want to be too long. And let's have a look at what's happening when we have different stages of development and how development, what are the paths followed by developments. So here I have different periods, and we know that I start with one period, but at different moments of time appear, and then I postpone then, cooperative innovation or conflictive innovation. And that's a way of trial and error, because step by step, that's the way development is invented, and there are peculiar paths of development, and these paths of territorial development, they follow the story and they follow the events, which are sometimes cooperative events, sometimes more conflictual events, and after each event, there are new directions which are set in this direction. Of course, it's more complicated than that, so I just indicated one way, but here I have put several possibilities, so it can happen that different possibilities arise regarding different types of conflictual or cooperative innovations, and different types of shocks at the local level, so it can explain, and then in the end you have different types of development which can be assessed or which can explain. And of course, it's even more complicated than that, because territorial development much more looks like this. with a lot of paths of developments. They are intermingled, they are interconnected, and they usually go forward, sometimes they come backward, and that's what local territorial development looks like. It is made of the addition of all these paths of territorial development made by local agents. Are they based on technological, organizational, social, or institutional innovations? Are they based on conflictual or on cooperative innovations at the local level? So that's the way. And of course, it is non-linear. And of course, there are possibilities of feedbacks in this local structure of development. So I'm about to finish, and I will go now to a few conclusions. First, let's summarize what we have been talking about. We can say that territorial development can be seen as a laboratory of innovation and development process. If I summarize what I said that territorial development is induced by innovation, but not only by big innovation, big technological innovation, but also by more modest, more incremental innovation, what is called novelties. So all those type of novelties, they promote the path of development and in different ways, in different possibilities, be there cooperative innovation or conflictual or competitive innovation. Governance and production are the two main engines of territorial development. So they are working in different sense. So we have local production system plus isolated innovators and territorial governance involving various groups of stakeholders working together or in opposition. Okay, so that's the idea that here we have this kind of local experimentation, and we are talking about the inherent complexity of development. That's what I said. But to be sincere, and just to finish with, it is quite clear that now come new questions related to the development and to the very question of development. And these questions, I'm not really able to address them now, but I want just to put them on the table. That's the first, there are problems linked with environmental matters or disease or issues. Climate change is a reality. Right? You are a fool if you do not think that it exists. Reduction of biodiversity is a huge reality. So we are at the start of a sixth massive extinction of species in the world. And also there is a big issue regarding land, because the availability of land for cultivation is now very, very scarce. And there are just a few land to cultivate, because not only because we used all the possible and usable land in the world, but also because we made a lot of degradation around the agricultural land, and a part of those land now they are completely unable to produce agricultural food or local food or food unless you put a lot of fertilizer on them, which is also a big problem for the future. Same time, there is a huge rise of inequalities, and there is a question of well-being of local population, because after 100 years of attempts to develop, it is quite obvious that we are not able to develop everywhere at the same pace, of course, and also there are some places which are really underdeveloped still, and that's a big problem. So there are some response to that. For example, in terms of sustainable development, that's quite an old story now. In terms of circular economy, there are some responses at the local level, at the territorial level, regarding these possibilities of development, but it's very, very reduced regarding the importance of the problems. And it is clear that now we have to ask a question, and this question is really, really difficult to answer and even difficult to address. Is it really now a good idea to develop? Is it a good idea or is it an idea to stop development? So do we have to, that's a very, very difficult idea for everybody. I know that pretty well, but we have to ask when we are dealing with every types of development, now we have to ask the question, is it still a good idea to develop or not? So I think I've finished and I really, really thank you for your attention and for your patience.